in part 7 of my 8-part series on God's plan for His church. You be the church, just in case you're wondering. So it's God's plan for you, God's plan for us. Today we're looking at that part 7 to the united body of Christ, to be the united body of Christ. That's His plan. We see that in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 16. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and He gave gifts to men. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and come in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, that You lay out for us what Your plan is, what it is You want for us to do. You've told us our place here. Lord, as I preach Your Word this morning, let Your Holy Spirit be upon me, Your anointing upon me, that I might speak Your Word in truth and power. Lord, that nothing that is not of You would be heard by the ears that hear this message, but might they all only hear Your Word, Your truth, through Your power, Lord. Lord, reveal Yourself. Show us how we are to be part of this plan. What our part is, that we might better follow it and be used by it to Your glory, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's plan is to be the unified body of Christ. And I'm trying to kill myself by stepping on my shoelaces. 1 second, please. So unity of the body. I've got 3 passages that I pulled out on this. And if you look at them all, the Ephesians passage, Roman passage, 1 Corinthians, they're very, very similar. That's why I pulled them out. They're each one extended passages that talk about the variations of the body and the different parts and how they are to come together to do God's will. That there's to be unity in this. Every single one of these passages talks about this. Now, I just laid out these 3 and I encourage you to go and read them. However, please don't think that this is the only place in Scripture that talks about unity in the body. Jesus talks about it in the Gospel of John quite a bit. There are many places throughout Scripture. Peter's not the only one who writes on it. We need to remember that unity of the body, that's us. The church is one of the primary concerns of God. Jesus, in His prayer, prays that we would be unified as He and the Father are unified. So as we look at this, unity in the body, let's not limit ourselves just to these texts, though I'd encourage you to study them. But look throughout the Word of God and see how He brings it time and time again that we are to be unified. Now, we are to live a life worthy of the calling. This is our to-do list. He gives us this. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. You have received. He says, be completely humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort. That's to strive to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're to be humble, gentle, patient, bear with one another, make every effort. This whole list, these are things that we're to do. These things lead to unity, to be humble. Humble isn't saying that you're not important when you are important. Humble is not seeking to bring undue attention to yourself, but to point to that which is of ultimate importance. That's being humble. Jesus didn't deny that He's the Son of God. He made it plain that that's who He is. But He was humble because He placed God before Himself in all things. He placed the Father up front. He said, I'm not here to do my will, I'm here to do the Father's will. This is that example, how humility does this. Gentle. He was gentle. That's a hard one. Sometimes it's easier to be rough, isn't it? But to be gentle. Sometimes a little toughness is required. But yet we're to be gentle. And patient. You know, oh Lord, give me patience and give it to me now, right? Because these are traits that we need to have, that we need to cultivate within our lives. These are things that we need to work at to foster unity in the body. And when we don't have these things, what transpires is division. People, lest you think that I'm pointing a finger at you, these are things I'm pointing at me. Okay? This is what I need to do. You too, but me first. Bearing with one another in love. Love. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. So I bear with you. Take your burden upon myself. We make every effort, strive to build that unity. So if we see something that's causing disunity, that brings division into the house, we're to work against it. The unity of the body is what we've been called to. That's what Peter tells us here. So God is telling us through Him. This is what we're called to. So He gives us this to-do list. Do these things. Be humble. Be gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another. Make every effort. Why? So that we can be one. Truly one. One body. One Spirit. One hope. One faith. One baptism. One Lord. One Father over all. One. Not multiples. One. When we talk about the church, we say the church, it's capital T, H-E, capital C. H-U-R-C-H. Got to check my spelling. I'm not real good at that. Okay. Church, the church. That's each and every person who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior for all of time, past, present, future, the church. And we're told we're supposed to be one. We have trouble being one here, just a few of us. Often I have trouble being one just myself. I have conflicting ideas and emotions about something. Anybody else have that problem? Be of one mind. Well, the problem is when I try to be in my mind. I need to be in the mind of Christ. One head overall. See, we are to have unity in the body. Yet we are each have our own job to do. And we each have that job. We are a single part of the whole. Anybody here ever take something apart? Ever take something apart and have extra pieces when you were done putting it right back together? There aren't extra pieces. Somehow or other you didn't put it together right. I know this because I've done it. Okay? Each part, when something is made well and engineered to go together, is necessary. There's a purpose for it. And guess what? Who made the world? Who made us? God. Do you think He made extra? We tend to think that way. We behave that way. We've created people and think of them as disposable. We treat our children like that, to our shame. Our brother was telling us, hey, in his testimony, Henderson's telling us, you know, what are we looking at what we're doing? Where have we diverged from God's path? Well, each part that God has given us is meant to do a specific job because He created it and put it there for a reason. It didn't get there by accident. You're not in this church by accident. You're put here for a reason. Okay? You have a job that you are to do. You are a single part of the whole. You are not the whole. Who here is the church? Anybody here of the church? Yes. Anybody here the whole church all by their lonesome? No. We aren't. God is telling us here that it's one church, one body, that we have one, but we have all these parts that are to be one. So each job, different parts, does many jobs. A different part for each job. Because some things can't be done by the same. Okay? Teeth for chewing. Not so good for walking. I imagine one could somehow figure out some methodology of trying to move yourself from one point to another using your teeth. But really? Is that what they're for? No. Feet. They're made for walking. Bad song reference on this day. But we have many jobs, many parts. And each part needs to do its job or the job doesn't get done. You here have a job to do. God put you here to do that job. If you don't do it, that means somebody else does. What happens when you have the wrong thing trying to do something else? Well, I'm a great example of that. When I was in my motorcycle accident in 91, I shattered my leg. So I lifted to one side. I had a bone here that wasn't doing its full job. It got too short. 10 years of listening to one side, my spine was trying to correct and compensate. What happened is my L5-S1 disc ruptured. I lose sensation and a lot of use in my right leg. Okay, they fix it. I have a surgery, whatever. Now I have a lift in my shoe. If I went to the doctor's office to get a lift put in that shoe, it's $120. I got a guy who does shoe repair. He does it for, puts a lift in the shoe for $60. I consider that a deal. But now I have a lift. Something to compensate. Why? Because one part of the body wasn't doing it. My body suffered, causing breakdown, and it wasn't until a correction was made that things could work better. Now, I'm not having back problems anymore. I still have other issues, though, because of that problem. This is our body, people. This is what illustration Peter... I'm sorry, I keep saying Peter. It's Paul that wrote this. Okay, that Paul, when he wrote this, he was writing in a way so that we could understand how important it is. Because everybody has had an injury at some point in time or another. And when something's injured, what happens to the rest of the body? The whole body has difficulties. Okay? If you got a broken hand, and if it's a right hand and you're right-handed, well, that makes it really tough to do a lot of things. But you'd be surprised, even if you're right-handed, if you break your left hand. You thought, the only hand I really need is my right hand. But all of a sudden you try to do a few things, you find out that, oh, I really do use that left hand. It is important. This is what we are being instructed to do. To each do our job. To be unified. To be together. If all the parts don't come together doing their job, then it breaks down. We've been assigned these jobs too. It's not just, okay, you go do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do kind of thing. We've been assigned jobs. We've been created to do particular jobs. In fact, it tells us, verse 7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been apportioned as Christ apportioned it. As Christ apportioned it. He gave us that, as He gave it to us. And then in verse 11 it says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, Jesus assigned us our jobs, our roles, our parts, each and every one of us. There is no part that is unimportant. Some are more out front. But I'll tell you what, each and every one is important. You cannot see my small intestine. But if I didn't have one, I wouldn't be anywhere near as healthy as I am. Why? Because it's important. And it does an important task that keeps me doing what I need to do. But it's not out front. Nobody sees it. But it's there. And when it stops working, oh, can I tell? Anybody here ever have GI issues? Does it cause a problem when you have a problem there with the rest of your life going on? Yeah! Doesn't matter if it starts everything go through or everything stops. Either one's bad, right? Well, we have to do the jobs that we've been assigned, each part. And they're not just for our individual benefit, okay? The job that I have to do is not primarily for my benefit. The job of the small intestine is not primarily for the small intestine's benefit. It's for the benefit of the rest of the body. My primary benefit of my job isn't to me, it's to all of you. Now, do I benefit first? Yes. But it's more important that you benefit than I do. And the job that you have to do, will you benefit from doing it? Yes. But it's not for you primarily. It is for the rest of the body. It is for the good of the whole. Now that sounds kind of communistic, Pastor. Sounds kind of socialist saying like, but I don't care what you want to call it. I'm telling you this is what God said. Okay, what he's telling us here is that we each have a job to do, a role to play. And that's what we're supposed to do. And it's not primarily for our own benefit. It's for the benefit of those around us. To build strength and unity. You know, how well we do that job, we either benefit from it or suffer from it. If I don't do my job well, this church suffers. If I do it better, it benefits. You don't do your job well, this church will suffer. See, I'm not the only one whose job affects how this church works. Everybody here does. Your job needs to be done. What is it? It's the one that God gave you. He gave you the job. You need to find out what that job is so that you do it and then work at it. How others are going to do their job are going to affect me. If somebody else doesn't do their job, I might have to pick up it and do it because it needs to be done. There's only so much that one can pick up before we're done. That's what happened with my spine. There's only so much listening to one side before that L5-S1 disc ruptured on me. And then the correction was made. Now I don't have those problems. This is what we need to do. Each part has a job. And we need to do it together. And we need to do it in love. Selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of the body. Others. See, we don't... Ever seen a wrench mechanic or a hammer mechanic? Let's go from wrench mechanic. Hammer mechanic. Somebody thinks that the way you fix an engine or something is you just take and you just beat on it with a hammer? No, I'm the only one that's ever seen that or maybe even done it. Try that on yourself sometime. I got... You know, I stubbed my toe, so okay, well, I'll hit myself in the head. Maybe that'll fix it. Not so much. Now I just got two things that hurt. Maybe three, depending on how well I hit. How well I hit, you know, boom, boom. We need to do it in love. Not seek to cause harm, but help. See, when we do our jobs that God has given us with the intent to bring benefit to those around us, this is when we start having the unity that we're supposed to have. We are to have that unity in the body, and we have our each job. Each have a job that we're to do. But not just part of anybody, but as part of the body of Christ. It's not good enough to be part of just anybody. We can all get together and we can be the body of, how about the body of Viking? You know, anybody here good for the Vikings? Go, go. Or maybe the Gophers. We can be the body of Gopher. You know, no, no. We want to be the body of Christ. It's important. What? Who are we with? Who's our identity? We are the body of Christ. We're not just anybody. We are specifically the body. And we're not the body individually. Again, we are the body corporately. Corporately, we are the body. I am not the church. I cannot stand up here and say, I'm it, people. You're not. People try it. They try to think, well, maybe we'll just exclude that group. Well, that's amputation. It's not good for you. It's not good for us. So we have the body. We are the body. Not just anybody, but Christ's body. Christ. God come in flesh, who walked this earth, said, we are now His body here on this earth. When the world sees us, they see Christ. And if He's the body, He said He is also the head. Okay. What directs our body to do something? It's the head. It's the brain. Now, we consider somebody to be very ill or to have a significant physical disability if they are unable to control a part of the body. Okay, we have different parts. If I had this, there are people who have these types of problems. Maybe they can't a physical action like that. Tourette's. Sometimes it's somebody has no control over an appetite. Maybe it be a drug. Maybe it be some other thing. We call these addictions. Okay? I'm not controlling it. My mind isn't controlling it. The head isn't controlling it. It's something else. It's the hunger that's driving it. That's not supposed to be the head. These are all signs of illness within the body. The body's not working right. When the body's working right, it's the head that's in charge. When I tell my hand to go out there and grab that and bring it back to me and does it. When Christ tells us, the body, to go forth and speak the word and we do it. To go forth and show the word. Okay? Jesus didn't just speak the word, but He also showed the word. He was loving and compassionate in His actions, not just His words. He healed those who were ill. He visited those who were sick and healed them. Those who were in prison. Again, these are all things that He told us to do too. We need to do them. Take care of those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Because Christ is our head. And then also we have the Holy Spirit residing within us. We're not just any old body, but we're the body that where the God, Spirit of God lives. Wow! God lives in His church. Isn't that amazing? It is. And if you don't think it is, think it over a bit. God lives within us. His Holy Spirit resides within us. He gives us divine power to do the things that He's given us the job to do. He prepared work for our hands, and then He gave us the ability to do it, the power to do it. Whether that is something simple or complex, something that is kept private, or something very out in public. It's all done through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And as we're Christ's body, as we are the very body of Christ, we're not here and free to do whatever we want. But we're here to do God's will, the Father's will. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus prayed to the Father. And that's us as church. Not our will, but your will, Lord. What would you have us to do? See, God's plan is for each of us to be unified with others. With the others. Okay? Who others? Everyone who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's His plan. We're to be one. This thing that we have where we're battling within the church, big C, that's just not God's plan. Where we battle within each other within the little church, little C, that's not God's plan either. But we're to be united. It is God's plan that we're to be united with others. That we're to be of one mind. And that mind is supposed to be the mind of Christ. Not our own wills and desires, but God's will, Christ's will. As we each do the work that the Father's prepared for us. Okay? God has prepared work for us to do. And given us the empowerment to do it. For His glory. We're the body of Christ which God uses for His purposes here on this earth. Let's us here seek to be a healthy, holy, whole, united body that is fully under the control of its head. That is Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You indeed are our Lord, our Savior, our God. That Christ, You are the head of Your church. And that's us. Lord, might we submit our will completely and fully to You in all things. For that is Your plan. That You would unify us. To truly be the effective body that You would have us to be. We pray this in Your name, Lord. Amen.